We're listening in the background to John Harbison's arrangement of What a Friend We Have in Jesus, part of Songs America Loves to Sing. You're tuned to WORT 89.9 FM Madison.
Landmark ruling, which climate campaigners hope will prompt governments across the continent to adopt a tougher approach on global warming. The court decided that Switzerland violated the rights to health and life of a group of more than 2,000 elderly women by failing to properly fight climate change. Bruna Molinari is one of those who brought the case.
It's the policies that should change, and it's the politicians that should change, because this changes nothing tomorrow. That's the end of the story. I'm 82 years old. I will not see the ending of this action, since I think we will still have to wait for years before something can change in Switzerland.
The Swiss government says it will analyse the judgment and review what action to take. Evacuation orders have been issued to more residents of southern Russia after some of the worst flooding in the region in decades. Flood sirens were heard in the city of Kurgan, while water levels continue to rise in Orenburg. Almost 100,000 people have been forced from their homes in southern Russia and neighbouring Kazakhstan by high water levels caused by rapidly melting snow. Thailand has said it's prepared to accept 100,000 refugees from the civil war in neighbouring Myanmar. It has also offered to mediate to end the crisis. With more, here's our Asia-Pacific editor, Celia Hatton.
Bangkok has faced mounting pressure to come up with a plan to deal with the turmoil on its doorstep. Fighting has intensified in Myanmar since the military carried out a coup 3 years ago. And recently, some of the fiercest fighting has taken place around the border town of Miawadi. Rebel fighters say they've taken control of the town. But to escape the ongoing threat of violence and the pressure of military conscription, thousands of refugees have already been crossing over into Thailand along the porous 2,400-kilometer border that separates the two countries.
The World Health Organization says more than 3,500 people die from hepatitis every day, and this number is rising at an alarming rate. The WHO called for swift action to fight the virus, which causes inflammation of the liver and is considered the second largest infectious killer. Lepika Pelham has more.
More than 350 million people worldwide live with hepatitis B or C, which can lead to chronic disease and liver cancer. The report says two-thirds of all hepatitis cases are found in Bangladesh, China, Ethiopia, India, Pakistan, Indonesia, Nigeria and Russia. There are effective and cheap generic drugs to treat hepatitis, yet only 3% of those with a chronic strain, Hep B, received antiviral treatment in 2022.
World News from the BBC.
The High Noon Saloon presents Natty Nation's 420 Reggae Party on Saturday, April 20th at 7 p.m. Natty Nation blends authentic reggae with elements of rock, soul, and funk to create a unique Midwestern sound. Natty are joined by the 13-piece reggae sensation Dub Foundation and the jazzy reggae of Polyrhythmic Roots, along with your host, DJ Trichrome. More information can be found at high-noon.com. The High Noon Saloon presents Natty Nation's annual 420 Reggae Party with special guests Dub Foundation and Polyrhythmic Roots and hosted by DJ Trichrome on Saturday, April 20th at 7 p.m. at the High Noon Saloon. Live music lives at WORT Madison.
Support for this program comes from DaneNet. Since 1996, this Madison nonprofit has focused on digital equity, both by providing professional IT, tech, and website support to other nonprofits in Dane County, as well as digital equity programming in the community. DaneNet's goal isn't to make a profit. It's to help leverage technology in order to increase the efficiency and impact of nonprofit organizations. Nonprofit organizations looking for IT, tech, or website support can visit danenet.org for more information. That's Dane as in Dane County and net as in nothing but net. DaneNet.org.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Just Coffee, Madison's Fair Trade Roasting Cooperative. Just Coffee buys fair trade coffee to ensure equitable conditions for coffee grower cooperatives around the world and roasts locally in small batches. More information at 204-9011 or on the web at justcoffee.coop.
You're listening to WRT 89.9 Madison. Listener sponsored community radio.
The People's Station.
No justice! No peace! No justice! No peace! No justice! No peace! No justice!
No peace! No, I say you've been misled. You've been had. You've been took.
Man, listen, this is 2023, and we swinging chairs. I am not my ancestors, B.
Good morning, Madison.
Okay.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Mad Town. It's your Tuesday Two Turnt crew, and we definitely turnt. Boy, I'm looking at everybody dancing and grooving this morning. It's some sunshine. Hey, now it's the Tuesday 8 o'clock buzz with your crew. Hey, y'all sound off. Who we got in the house this morning?
What up, y'all? It's Lolo Latour. I'm signing in from Milwaukee this morning, y'all. But Madison, I miss y'all. I love y'all. What's the tea?
Hey, Lo.
Hey, yo. RR Moore in the building, y'all. What up, y'all? Happy Tuesday. What's up, gang?
What up? What up, RR Moore?
Yeah.
What's happening? You get Antoine McNeil from the mill, always keeping it real, super chill.
Okay.
Okay,
Antoine McNeil. Y'all got to get the Mac going in there. And then you know you got your hostess with the mostest, Tara, a.k.a. Big Tia. And I'm coming to y'all from D.C. today. Last week I was in Atlanta. Today I'm in D.C. I'm making my way back to the Mad. Y'all will see me this weekend or something like that.
I know that's right.
Making my way downtown.
And don't forget about this.
Hey, who saw the clips yesterday?
I did. I was out in it.
Yeah, we ended up, so my daughter, my mom, and I, we all ended up going to the Milwaukee Public Museum. By the time we got there, they said the glasses to view it sold out on Saturday. So my daughter spotted a man out there that had a pocket full of them, and we ended up scoring a pair. And, y'all, I felt different watching that eclipse. I could feel the effects of it on me.
I did not have fancy glasses, but I agree. In the beginning, it just was like it was moving faster. I don't know how to explain it, but it just like got darker and darker, but it moved so fast. Yeah, we were in Philly at the time, hanging out outside, and it just got dusky. Like it went from sunshine to just like cloudy. And then before we knew it, it was back. I really thought it was going to get darker, to be honest. But yeah, we were out in the streets. But it did. It felt like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it other than to say it, like, it felt like it was moving fast.
Yeah, I think Texas got total darkness and the longest amount of darkness as well, the longest viewing time of it.
Yeah, where we were at and also in Wisconsin, it said we would get like high 89 to 90%. But really, Rar, you asked where I was at. Me and the kids were in Philly. North Philly, to be exact. It was pretty dope. It's always interesting how me and my kids said this in the car yesterday, how the neighborhoods that have a like historical story of trauma and like rough places to grow up feel like home. Like we felt so comfortable as soon as we rode into the area, we were like, oh yeah, we by our people. And then we started reflecting on what that really meant. It was a good conversation, but yeah. One of my kids talked about basically how black folks take some of those pieces that we would consider quote unquote ghetto and we drop them when we get some money and move out the neighborhood, but really we leave in some of that familiarity culture behind too. I thought that was pretty dope observation, and it felt like right. Because I was like, this feels so comfortable, and this is the place that most people talk about being the hardest place to come from in the area.
That's how I feel when I go to St. Louis also. East St. Louis is one of the roughest cities in America, and there's never a time that I travel there and I feel out of place.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and then I can't say the same thing for some of the other areas we've been in that was more gentrified. Right. Mm. and so well, that's an interesting take.
So you got to see what gentrification really looks like.
Oh, girl, yeah. Traveling through like Manhattan, Brooklyn, Harlem, the Bronx, it's literally like you, it's like a scaling back or scaling up, whatever direction you're looking at it, but it's a transition. It was interesting. We've had a dope, boy, I tell you, this has been, last year I took the same tour, but I was by myself. I call it the Southeast Tour, but this year I brought the kiddos. Only one of my babies wasn't able to join me. She was at home being a serious student. She's graduating this year, and she said, nah. And I was proud of her for that. And it's been dope to have the kids with me to kind of rediscover, and now we in parts that, like, I hadn't been to Philly before. And when we leave here, we're heading towards Detroit, and that'll be new for me, too. So
Detroit.
That's awesome.
Well, let me give
Detroit
a shout out.
Third world country at this point.
We just got to get to the West Coast.
Let me give a shout out. So, Latour, you said you was in Milwaukee. I like the way you said your daughter spotted somebody, and then you copped, y'all copped a pair as if it was a drug deal.
Man,
yeah, scored a pair. We scored a pair as if it was a drug deal. I'm like, wait a minute. The funny thing is you was in Milwaukee. All you had to do was just ask somebody for a pair of Cartiers. You know what I mean? Milwaukee always will have a pair of good Cartiers. That's how we look at the sun. Milwaukee cats put on a pair of Cartiers. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? It's funny you said that, Antoine, because all the black folks that were out there had these real like the glasses that the museum was giving out was like those old 3D glasses when you go see the right. 3D movie. All the brothers out there, they all had the actual glasses with the flip screen.
Right.
Flip it up and down. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
These fit the
Cardi, huh? Not the flip screen glasses. You know, we some extra folks. We jazzy. You said the flip screen.
If we gonna do it, we gonna do it right, and we gonna do it big.
Now, I went out yesterday when the eclipse happened. I went outside. I went to my backyard. And first I was trying to look at it. I couldn't see it. I took my phone, and I was like letting the phone be what I'm looking at. And my neighbors, I looked over at my neighbors, and they was having a discussion. It was like five of them. And I saw them point to each other and point at me. I guess they had an extra pair of sunglasses. And then little girl walked over to me like, it sounded like, hey, stupid, you want some glasses? But she was just like, hey, man. You want
That's what I'm kind of hearing. You said you were looking directly at the sun.
I mean, No, I wasn't. I was looking at my phone. I had my phone pointed at the sun.
Okay.
I was looking at my phone. But then they came over and gave me the glasses. And I put some glasses on. It was a world of difference. Like, oh, that's what it looks like.
Okay, but y'all know I'm the one that's going to bring this up, right? So yesterday was also a new moon. It was a super moon, which means for spiritually aligned and inclined folks, yesterday was a powerful day. So did any of y'all set some intentions? Did any of y'all meditate, think about how you want to move? Okay, this is that lit, woke crew.
I played the numbers.
I told my daughter everything you just said, and her exact words were, I wish I was on my period. I said, I am. She said, Mom, you are it right now. You are everything. You are just the walking spiritual conduit right now. Anything you ask for, you're getting.
Don't.
Look, you just killed our co-host, though. You see, like there was a physical response.
Don't do it, Antoine. Don't do it. Don't do it, Antoine.
Do it. Do it.
Bless us all. Bless us all. The blood of Lolo will save us now.
That's it.
We stupid as ever this morning. This is for real, the two-third crew. Look, well, John didn't go off screen. He said no.
All righty. This is how we kick it off this Tuesday, apparently. Set your intentions. No, but that's...
See, the brothers thought it was just a nuisance or a red light to run, sis. They ain't know it was powering that. You know, they ain't think about it.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay, we sorry, man. Did that get deep on y'all? Some people in their car are like, whoa, what just happened?
I'm trying to figure out how quickly we can transition out of this conversation. So, yeah, so the eclipse was so wonderful. People were wearing Cartiers and lip glasses. So.
Hey, yeah. I got the perfect transition. Happy birthday, Vicky Lynn.
Happy birthday, Vicky Lynn.
Okay. Antoine McNeil, can you share a couple words, brother? Because we all loved her, but I feel like you had the closest relationship up in the space. Can we share a couple words of encouragement, love, celebration?
Well,
she definitely had a joke for this.
So, I mean, it's crazy because that made me emotional. That's like my sister, right? That's my comedian sister. That's my partner. If she came in town, if she needed a place to stay, you know, when it'd be, if she wasn't with like Samantha, her other Daniel's sister, like Vicky was just so dope as a person, as a woman, as a comedian, as a mother, just if you knew her as a friend. Vicky was one of the few people, like, she created, some people know Vicky Lynn from creating, well, they can say, like, the Black History for the Beloit Women's, I forgot what you call it. It's like a, whatever, was that a conference?
You called it, right, Black History?
Yeah, the Black History Gemini Expo. She created that for Beloit, and it was just going, and just continues to get big. It was always good to see women and minorities get together. It was like one of the biggest places that vendors can go. Cause you know, it's always like, oh, here's a place where vendors can go. It was a place that vendors could go and really get their money, really connect with other people, being able to connect. And I think just part of her networking and her testimony was really part of her character. Way, obviously it was way bigger just than an event, but it is going on, you know, year. Since she had, you know, a little bit over a year since she had passed. And it's just, I want to make sure I give her flowers because there's so many people that we wait till they pass to give us our flowers. Vicky always made sure she showed people love for their shows, for the event, who they are. So that's why I said again, it's important not just to honor her and her death, because and death is just nothing but another transition to where we're talking about this new moon and all this other stuff. So she just got a chance to transition. I'm so happy and thankful to get to know her and honor her while she was here, being able to touch her when she was, you know, on at the hospital, you know, touch her hand, just get that energy and give her energy, still joke and laugh. It's funny how today came about for me. Because for the last 2 weeks, she's been heavy on my timeline. And I've been going through something, and she's been heavy on my timeline. She's been heavy on my timeline. You know how sometimes you go through your memories? She's been heavy on my timeline so much that I just stopped my memory. Every day I get up, the memories come out, swipe it away. I didn't want to see it because it started making me emotional. And I'm like, why is this happening? I told my daughter this yesterday. I said, every time I keep seeing Vicky, I've been swiping it away for the last 2 weeks just because it's been overwhelming. This is my 10th year in comedy, so me and Vicky be rocking for at least 10 years. So it's all kind of flyers, pictures and stuff coming up. And I, for the last about week or so, I've just been avoiding it. And my daughter said, it's probably something that she's trying to tell you, right? And that was yesterday. Uh-huh. Then I get a call from Emmett, which is one of her comedian brothers, called me, I think, Sunday. Me and my daughter just chopped it up with him, put him on speakerphone. So it's like we had lunch with Emmett, which was, you know, we talked about Vicky and what she meant to us as well. And then today, it just right before the show, I said, man, why am I feeling her so much? I went to her page and it's like her birthday is today. Like, what's the likelihood? And I just wanted to make sure that I honor her, you know, and told people if they want to call in and say something brief, just because she's so dope, I don't want to like exhaust the topic. But when I talk about a true, genuine spirit and soul, and it wasn't about religion, it was just about energy. It was about being real. She tapped in with women. She was one of the females who actually, or women who actually got me and get brothers. So she was able to talk that talk, and she was able to talk it slick. So I nothing but love. Happy heavenly birthday to our sister, man.
Happy birthday, Vicky. Hey, Happy birthday.
Man, amen, hey, Antoine. Everything you said, brother. Absolutely. The sister was light here on earth, and I know in the ancestral plane she's with us. So, yeah, hey. And not to tell you what to do, but maybe take a pause and accept what she's sending to you, bro.
Hey, let me have a moment to speak on Vicky Lynn because I'm from Beloit, and I've been knowing Vicky. Well, according to her, we've been knowing each other since high school, but I don't remember Vicky in high school, but whatever. I remember you from high school, so I'm hollering at the other homies like, was Vicky in school with us? And it was like, yeah, she was the same person then as she is now. She was the same. So I remember Vicky like a few years after high school. That's when I first started really remembering her.
But you was high in high school. You was high in high school. That's why you don't remember her.
I was waiting for my interest to be like, you just don't remember high school, bro. You just don't remember.
You were high. I'm talking about you don't remember Vicky. You would have if you wasn't high.
I remember high school. Whether I was high or not, I remember. I just don't remember. I don't remember Vicky from school. But I want y'all to know this Vicky, she's always been the same person. Like, right after high school, I remember Vicky from then until now. There ain't never been a time when Vicky ain't gonna make sure that she makes you smile, which is like really, really dope. And it ain't gotta be a joke. It could be a compliment. It could be a compliment or a hug or a, hey, you looking sharp, Rosé. Come here, Rosé. You always smelling good. Let me give you a hug. Or, you know, just something, man. Vicky just, and one more thing, the pop-up shop that she created, the Her Stories, this one that we just, so she, there's been two of them since she's transitioned. This one was amazing. The one before was a kind of, but this one was kind of amazing. It was like a theme in the air. Like, yeah, this is how Vicky wanted to be. I know she's happy. Yeah, it's cracking. As a matter of fact, I remember teasing her about the Black Her Stories. Like, why I can't come to it? It's just women. I can't come to it. And she told me herself, she was like, nah, well, I say, don't even worry about it. Whenever I have something like this, you are invited. Because, you know, we're from the same city, the same town and all that. Just a wonderful spirit. I'll speak for the whole city of Beloit. We miss her so bad, for real.
You know, I will say, I can't speak to Miss Vicky. I've seen a lot of the works that she's done just in general for us. But Antoine, to your point, I will say that when powerful people transition, their power does not leave. It stays right here. You can feel it. If you think about it, we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. We have to compress so much power and energy into this flesh and bones. And when we transition, if we're powerful, all of that is released and it stays right here with all of us. I felt that way about Tony. I still feel that way. And even just hearing about Ms. Vicky, I can feel her presence. I can feel her power, you know? So I just wanted to speak to that.
Have you seen her on my stage before doing comedy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You seen that power. Didn't you? Yeah. She also was a poet. Like she was an author.
She was so real. It was just real and unedited and transparent. And she was a powerful, powerful person. And that hasn't gone anywhere. She made her mark and it's continuing. That's how we create our legacy. It's the only way man knows how to live forever is in the legacy we leave behind. So Miss Vicky Lynn is going to live on forever, man.
Now, I want to go back a little bit to something you just said, Antoine. 10 years in May doing comedy, brother. Let's talk about that. Shout out, big ups, congratulations to the Taurus in the crew. Yeah. Let's talk about that. May, 10 years, a decade.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's crazy? Because, you know, when you put in the work, you don't really pay attention to how it feels. You just like, you just bumping up upon, you know, your time. And it's interesting because I think the 10 years for me to be in Wisconsin, and I'm a air quote and put this word success and what success looks like and feels like for people, that I've done that mainly here. I haven't had to travel as of yet. So for many people who haven't seen me across the nation, I'm still new to them. You know, so people in the town may have seen me and may have heard me, and some people may have not. So it's still some new stuff. Just like, you know, y'all poets and stuff, you got poems, you got stuff that's your go-tos that they have never seen or heard yet. You got new stuff that you're working on. So I've just been, I would say, putting in the work. Started at the Comedy Club on State Street doing open mic. And then I think 2 years and a year or two into that, I think May of 2014, I went down to Beloit, got love from Beloit with my guy Lance Baskin, put me in the game to do a show. And I've been doing shows ever since then. And that's how I met the B City, Be Funny crew, Dez, Emmett. I met Danger. It's just Beloit always showed me love with the comedy scene, and that created a brother and sisterhood. And here in Madison, they embraced me. And it's crazy because I didn't even know how I want to celebrate or not, because everybody know here how hard it is to produce a show. It's I can't even explain the word, just because of feelings, right? So part of me is like, do I want to produce a show? Do I want to put on all that? What if the people don't show up? How much can I charge? And who am I going to bring? And even if it's myself, that's just enough. You know what I mean? Even if it's a larger crowd or small crowd, it's just enough. So I probably put something together. I have something together for May 18th. I'm not necessarily who. I have a venue that's a smaller venue. I would like to get something a little bit larger for the 10-year celebration. So I got trying to put together. Y'all know some spots that may hold like 150, 200 or more, let me know, tap in, because we also know how hard it is to find the venue space as well. So I just want something that's good for seating. If not, we're going to rock with what we got. But I'm thankful to be at my 10 years. It's I've been putting in the work, and sometimes it don't feel like it just because time goes so quick.
Man, I think we might have an idea on that venue for you, brother. Let's connect after this. Congratulations. I'm there. I didn't just put it on my calendar. May 18th. Mm-hmm. Okay. And right. You know, the day before is the Urban Triage, right? Mm-hmm. The Urban Triage Gala is the night before, the 17th.
Yep.
Oh, we're going to have a lit weekend then. All right. Yep. Get y'all tickets. They coming on next week, Antoine?
Yep, they'll be on next week, Urban Triage.
All right, so next week.
Talking about that gala.
And hopefully by then we'll have locked down that venue and we can make a full announcement for your 10-year anniversary party.
10-year anniversary. It's also the day before my birthday. So I'll be 43 on the 19th. Okay.
You'll be how old?
I'll be 43, God willing.
Why am I in here with these newborns? Bro, I say, why are we in here with these newborns, these kids?
Somebody got to go.
Hold on. My daughter's significant other talking about he about to be 30. And my daughter was like, my other daughter, the middle daughter, the little one, was like, you so old, boy. I was like, what? I'm going to walk off on y'all. These y'all some newborn, just got the Similac off your chin looking.
Hey, I appreciate that. You know what I mean? I appreciate that. I got a son that's 27, be 28 this year. So I don't know how newborn that is, how much Similac that is. You know what I mean?
You was early getting it. That's how old my oldest is too, brother. You was early getting it.
So they said you got to be good at something.
And there you have it. The Tuesday 2 Turk crew. And this is why. Just wild talk over here. We know too much about y'all already. But for real though, congratulations. Because it is not a small feat to stay dedicated to anything. I know people can't hold a relationship with people in their family for 10 years straight, right?
I ain't gonna lie. I be trying to almost think about quitting every day. And not just not the comedy part. Like the comedy part is
the
easier part, right? It's the throwing events, because our people just literally, I don't know why some people either think this word local is a bad thing. Local just means where you come from. If Rossay go back to Beloit, he's local to Beloit. That just means where you come from. But when we go to other cities and places, they show us love. They go crazy about us. I can't express to you amount of love when I go to some places, Texas or I'm in any place in Florida. They're like, oh my good, they receive me well. And I just say that because I'm saying like, I battle with continue doing the show. Most people don't even realize just because of how the shows have slowed up sometime. I didn't do one from January. We did the one for February. March, our stop, because that's the same time that they had one in Milwaukee. They had the We Are the Ones tour. That affects my attendance. And then on April 27th, I had another show. That's when Kevin Hart will be in Milwaukee. That affects my attendance. But we can take our same energy and spend more money to park, you know, not to say that we shouldn't go see the stars, you know, to the, we would take an hour or two of gas and driving 20 minutes down the street. We would also take that same energy or risk getting a DUI, DWI, because they driving, drinking, smoking down there. I'm saying versus come holler at the local, the guy who lives local. And sometime I've heard plenty of people told me they've had more fun at my shows than they have at some of the bigger shows. The Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is what people have told me. So I'm only saying it's not, and every show ain't going to be hitting the way you want to. It ain't going to hit the way I want to. It's a performance. People give their all, and they show love. So I'm thankful for anybody who has ever supported me, any facet, any capacity, people who have paid forward tickets, and on the low, I'm working on something for people who are not able to make it to shows, who still want to see the show, and it's not going to be on these traditional platforms. So that's I got something that I'm working on. But to make a long story short, I'm thankful for everybody who has supported me over this time, and truly they keep me going, because I low-key be wanting to stop doing shows. It is very stressful because of how late ticket sales come in, if they come in, attendance. Yeah, but I can do comedy all day. I can get on anybody's scene. Actually, people don't, I'm canceling my shows for the summer, but I'm going to do it a different way. So there'll be no after May.
You need an OnlyFans, and not in a sexualized way. I know, right? But there are people who start up OnlyFans to teach cooking classes that have comedy shows on there, and they get subscribers from across the world to pay $10 to watch them for this 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And I've said it a couple times in my private conversations with folks. Antoine McNeil needs an OnlyFans. Because you would break into a genre that isn't touched on, and people want to laugh. They want to. And also, Antoine, you and I kind of discussed this a couple weeks ago about people not showing up in attendance to Madison events. And I think it's particular to Madison. There's something about it where it's either not glamorized enough, where people don't want to participate, or there's these little small factions of beef that are going on. And so one person won't show up one place and because they think that somebody else is going to be there, and then they'll tell their crew, we don't F with them, so don't show up there. And so we've got this whole, it's a weird dynamic, with particularly in the Black community in Madison. And I think it's because we're so fractioned, we're such a small percentage, that it's hard to like come together in unity. Everybody wants to be the first and the only.
Yeah, no, I appreciate those who realize that they can't be in groups with others. Stay away. I don't want the drama. I don't want the issue. Mm. We have thrived 10 years successfully with zero issues. And I can say that. And my shows have been going for 8 years in May. I've been doing comedy for 10. Thank God we haven't had zero issues. So those people who are in groups and cliques and who don't want to come, don't. Mm-hmm. You think I'm going to be like, comedy really is a lot about energy, right? Why would I, like, is it for me to give energy, even when I don't have it sometimes, for me to want to give laughter and to get people together? I'm not going to be upset that someone doesn't want to come laugh and they don't want to come drink and eat. Stay home and stay on your phone and go do what you're going to do. This ain't for everybody.
Hey, I do want to agree, though, about the, like, larger comedy shows. One of the things that me and the kids did on Friday, we were in Brooklyn and we went to the April Fool Comedy Jam, and it was packed full of people. Oh man, Tracy Morgan, Jess Hilarious. It was like 10 different people. DL Hughley, like, it was crazy. We had two musical performers. I like that too. Glorilla kicked it off, and Jeezy ended it. Dang. Right. But look, but with all that I just said, I promise you, I laughed out loud less than 10 times total. People around me were commenting on the same thing, right? And it was funny. Jess Hilarious was truly, I don't know if previously I might have been a little sleep on Jess. I don't know. She's been cool, but I ain't really got into her that way. But she was one of the funniest comics to hit that stage. And she said when she signed on, it was like five people and she had a 20-minute set. And then they kept sending her flyers. And every time they sent a flyer,
it's not like I'm trying to throw a spell.
I don't know. But the point being, is that I would say, and she said that it seemed like it was getting to be a talent show. But anyway, but it was. It was like I definitely enjoyed more intimate comedy settings. Yeah. Go ahead, Lo.
Rossay will give me 15 minutes on the set when he first asked me to come do a show. By the time we get in the show, by the time we get there, it's 15 other poets on there that didn't start the bill with us. And I got three poems. Three, maybe.
Allegedly. Oh, man. You know, the
interesting thing allegedly.
When, you know, like it's coming to do with, you know, the interesting thing, and this is one of the things I'm most thankful for, that comedy sometimes thrives because people feel like, oh, who's that? Who's going to be on the bill, right? Who are the big name? And people ask me to get big names. We have thrived even without those big names, and it's because of the humor. And it's not, and like I said again, if you go look at some of the, you look at comedy, it's like, what were they on? What were they on TV? Were they on radio? Like, where do you know them from? All you got to do is trust that I make sure I vetted the people, and I'm not finna bring nobody on there that's bogus. And if somebody's amateurs, because I'm giving them their first shots or, you know, early shot, and people keep growing in that amount of time. People have been on my show. They've been on Netflix. They went viral. All Tubi, anything. They've been on all kind of the shows. But I say this to say, like, I'm thankful to get the support from people without me being on the big name shows. And comedy thrives in just people putting in the work in some of those small stages where you go get your practice from. It's not showing up on a theater and doing new material. It's saying, I've tried and tested this material. So I thank everybody for rocking with me for 2 years.
Antoine, that, you know, that I've watched for years, Sean Morgan, mm-hmm. is the most recent one I can think of. And when I tell you they are funnier on your stage than I've seen them in any other show. And I think a lot of that has to do with the intimacy that you provide.
It's outside. It's almost outside of intimacy. It's in a sense that we have a dope crowd. Madison is a very, we don't have that many like black people here. And then when we get here and we can act right and act accordingly, the energy is dope. We have some of the dopest crowds. Y'all been doing poetry there. You see how they rock with y'all, vibe with y'all. By the time you leave there, you feel like a star. You know what I mean? You on stage and you drop your best stuff or your worst stuff, and people coming to you afterwards, just acknowledging you, the energy of the crowd is amazing. So I give that kudos to the crowd as well.
I was just going to say, I was going to transition us a little bit to talk about some of the upcoming events. And just like you touched on some, Antoine, we often talk about organizing events because everybody on the Tuesday Buzz either organizes or participates heavily in events. And so we all have that perspective of what it is to really offer things to the city. And now we're learning what it looks like to travel and do that. So that's dope. So I want to give RR a chance to talk about what he's got coming up. We got some dope stuff coming up in like a week, bro, out of state. And then I wanted to talk to the community because I've got some events and I'm going to do some things a little differently this year about some of our Edo annual events. And I'm excited to put some words out into the community. But Rossé, go ahead and share with us what we got coming up.
Does your event happen to fall on 420? what's the likelihood? I hope you remember your event better than you remember Vicky in high school.
Talk about it.
I was booked on 420. Yes, I'm on 420.
Okay. He booked it busy.
On the real. Talk about it.
So we in Vegas. I'm at two shows. We in Vegas 420. We in Beloit May 4th. But 420, I've actually been practicing real strong the last couple of days because usually when I'm doing shows, I have other people doing poetry with me, and this is one of those shows where it's kind of like, it's mostly all on me. So I got about 16 perfected poems that I've been working on these last couple of days, just to make sure that they're, one, that I know them correctly, and then that they're properly placed in the right place. I've never been to Vegas before. It's just my first time going out that way.
Vegas fun, man.
The show is Saturday the 20th, but I'm going to pull up on Vegas on Wednesday or Thursday, so I can kind of, you know, settle in, get a feel of the city, kind of understand what's going on. But yeah, 420, I have a first cousin out there. She does catering business, and she knows, she's been out there 30 years. She's from Beloit, but she's been out there 30 years. And she's been trying to get me to come out there, and she finally figured out a situation that worked. So yeah, 420, I'm in Vegas. And then May 4th, myself and Latour and other dope poets will be in Beloit.
Why he say with an attitude, Lo? He said, Latour.
Because he know my stipulations.
She was just speaking on how I'll bring her there and change things change. It's going to happen May 4th, too. So be available, be ready.
I already know. He started off, oh, there's only going to be three poets. The group chat has 12 in them now. How did this happen?
Because you gotta understand, I know my people. By the time a week before it happens, two people are gonna cancel. The day
I'm gonna say half gonna be late.
Day of somebody just can't do it. It's just how it works. So you gotta overbook because you're gonna lose.
You gotta overbook it.
You can't do okay, that makes sense. Because you don't know who you're gonna lose. That's just how it goes, man. You know what I'm saying?
I'm excited to be in Vegas for 420.
Yeah, pull up for me for 420, man.
Excited because I've been to Vegas a handful of times, but I've never been there to enjoy Vegas. I've got family, I've got personal things I got to handle out there. And so Vegas has never been a place that I went to party or relax or vacation. And I'm forced to, because ain't no way I'm not going to show up and show out. Me and Lo going to be in the room hollering and cheering. Look, what's that?
Because we working, right?
Oh, we going to enjoy work, though.
No, we working. We going to enjoy work, though.
Okay, we are, though.
On stage. Y'all come
my mom is listening.
Lolo getting on stage. Terry, you might
too. Your mom know how we do. She enjoys work. We really love our jobs. And I'm going to definitely explore, check out some stuff.
Vegas is also dope as a performer, because when you go, if you realize Vegas is more of a tourist city. So when I was performing in Vegas, I realized that a lot of people are looking for places to go. And sometimes it goes back to those big names. They might go to Vegas and now it's Eddie Griffin or Beyonce. Some people don't want to pay $150-something for those tickets. So Vegas will keep up.
Did he say 150? Brother, try like $300-400, bro. Listen,
I'm just saying, some people don't want to spend a large amount of money, and those people might go, and then they'll look on the paper, and if they see you there, they're going to come rock with you, and you're going to end up likely having a full crowd just on GP, because those people support the craft of comedy, stand-up, spoken word.
That's real, because that's some of the business sense behind the event we do in Atlanta as well, is that we are offering something that's not going to have the bougie political line, because I talk to organizers and event part, you know, folks who throw events and promote them out there. And I understand the game. I understand that there's all these different ways that they bring money in through the door, but we ain't doing none of that. And it worked for us last year, and it's going to work for us better this year. Got the street team promotion. But anyway, but I feel you about what you're saying, because I'm one of those people. When I go to Vegas, I probably try to catch one thing that's big, a show or something, but I'm trying to look for something that I'm going to get through the door, find a seat, and enjoy myself and not be broke when I'm through. Yeah.
I never knew that about Vegas, Twan, and it sounds like Vegas is a lot like New York. Nobody in Vegas is from Vegas.
You got a couple of cats from Vegas that's out there, and they show love. There's a comedian out there. I want to make sure, shout out to Donnie. Always putting in work. Donnie, that dude, literally cool as a fan, but putting in work. But I just say that to say, when you go somewhere, especially Vegas, they ready to see you perform. So you, like you said, you got those 16, bring the A game. And the way they receive you out there, man, it's going to be, you're going to be like, okay, I am that dude.
Listen, man, yeah. I'm the type of guy, I'd much rather perform in front of strangers than I would family and friends. It's a thing for me.
Oh, so
I'm really excited.
That makes sense.
When I do shows in Beloit, I'm nervous from the time I start to the time I finish. These are friends and family I grew up with. I don't enjoy it as much as I do.
You can never really please them. Where your new stuff at?
Yeah. I clearly do shows in Beloit for people in Beloit that say, how come you won't do a show in Beloit? That's the only reason. It's not for the money, career. I don't like doing shows in Beloit. It's the thing. Yeah.
No, he didn't say that. He loved to come to B-Town. What is wrong with you, brother? I don't really like to do what?
Let me finish. I love my city. I'm the man in my city. I just don't like doing spoken word in front of friends and family. I prefer to do my set in front of strangers. I'm more comfortable. I'm more at ease. So at home, I'm more nervous than anywhere else. So like I say, I do my shows in Beloit for other people, not for me.
I might be able to speak to that a little bit too.
There's something about it.
Poets, we are the most honest you will ever see us, the most unedited and the most candid we could ever be when we get on stage and share our work. So for me personally, it's harder to do that with people that I know. Then it's the same idea. Like I can have a complete full-blown conversation with a stranger telling my whole life just because I don't think I'll see him ever again. As a poet, I get on stage and it's like, oh, I ain't never gonna see y'all again. Let me just lay it all out there.
Yeah, my last show in Beloit, the vendors were Taco Man. And I remember when it was over, some people were getting some tacos and I was going to get some tacos. And this woman that I've known my entire life asked me, she was like, Russ, hey, is that true? The things you said? I was like, yeah. Hey, you just didn't know me. She's been knowing me since I was like 16. I was speaking on things that happened in my childhood. So she didn't really know, but it was kind of what you get. The people going to come ask you, dog, is you lying?
I definitely was going to ask if it was that other poem. The kind of night you had afterwards, brother. Y'all gotta come to the show to know what I mean by the other poem. And I ain't talking about good morning. I'm talking about the little bit more. Okay.
I ain't talking about good morning.
But I did promise that I had a couple announcements for Edo events because I do need to call on the community. So.
Okay.
So this will be like our seventh year throwing the Juneteenth Soul Food Brunch. That's really the Father's Day celebration. We celebrate our Black men and fathers. And every year I've kind of gone out and found the caterer and I've curated the performers from like what I wanted, for who I was vibing with that year. And it's been cool, but I thought this year I want to open it up a little bit because I'm sure there's folks out there that I don't know about, right? Like if the idea of this event is to give new businesses a platform, then it makes sense that I would put a call out to the community. And so this is the beginning of that. You'll see more about this. We're going to be promoting this idea and looking out for people, but I'm looking for 1 to 2 caterers. Last year, we had 2 caterers, 1 vegan, 1 non-vegan, and I liked it. I really appreciate having 2 lines. But so 1 to 2 caterers, it's 150 to 200. I usually say a 200-head plate dinner. So I need somebody who has the capacity to come through the door, serve. It's Father's Day. It's Black men. It's Juneteenth. So you got to come like you know how to cook for your people. And then I'm looking for performers. We usually have about 5 folks hit the stage. I'm going to just voluntold Antoine is the host. I'm assuming you were available again this year, brother, but we'll talk about that in a minute offline. He's been my host every year. So, you know, if it ain't on his calendar already, I'm probably going to talk crazy. But, it's okay, bro.
We Gucci.
There you go. He do.
I turned down somebody else today. They asked me about
so basically, I'm putting out a request for proposals. I want people to want to get on my stages. I need some caterers. I need 1 to 2 caterers that can handle that 200-head meal. But then I'm trying to take some of the weight off of us. And so I'm looking for event decorators, coordinators. I need people that can come talk to me, get a vision from the team and make it happen. Right. We got mad events coming up. We got a lot of stages. So again, performers get at me. We've got a summer jam in July. We've got Juneteenth with a stage. In September, we're doing For the Culture. We're doing it so big, y'all. We got Bree Stevens Stadium. Like, it's crazy. We're trying to see about regional, national acts at this point. So it's a stage that y'all want to get on. We're going to highlight. It's the year of the ladies on that stage. And so we trying to bring all the dope sisters. I mean, it ain't that the brothers can't get up there, but we highlight it. When I think about local music, I promise, when I think about local music, the ladies is killing it. They so serious right now. And maybe this will be that call to the brothers to get up and get moving a little bit more, because YouTube videos and hanging with your guys rapping ain't going to get it, fellas. We need y'all to hit stages. But that's another story. But yeah, but lots of opportunities to come get down. And so you're going to see it coming out where we looking for stuff. And I also need an administrative assistant. But that's another story. Okay, tell them. You better tell them, Mo. But yeah, but plenty of opportunities to come get down. So y'all gonna look for it. We definitely gonna have it on social media. We'll talk about it some more on Wart. But this is an opportunity. So if you know up and coming artists, event planners and decorators and caterers, tell them to holler at me. Tell them to get in my inbox to find me and let me know, because we're gonna pull it together. I wanna give new folks a platform every year. The people who have cooked for us at Juneteenth have seen new corporate accounts, new growth. Last year's vegan food, she'd have moved into a food truck. Like, it really is a platform for exposure. I'm really proud of the work that we do. And this event has always been a dope event. But I will say what people might not understand on the back end is that this is an event that has really propelled other businesses. I use this event as a way to raise funds as well. I don't charge at the door, really. It's a small fee for families, and that money goes directly to our Black Men's Emergency Fund. And so it also is an opportunity. So I have corporate sponsors who watch the work we do, and they come through in the back end. I don't necessarily run fundraisers the way everybody else does, but this is an event where you will get highlighted. You will get exposure, whether you're hitting that stage. Last year was the first time I saw Chikari, and I took her to Atlanta. We've been rocking. We have a monthly event. Like, it's really a place where I try to launch, not just have a good time and celebrate our people, but to also to support launching and growing capacity for our businesses. And that includes artists, caterers, food, event decorators, all of that. Y'all all Black owned businesses, and you really what's thriving in some of the most businesses in our area. And so if you in that lane, holler at your girl. I need you this year. We try to really make some things pop and get it settled right now. All right, well, y'all, we done made it almost to the end. What y'all got? Next time, we're going to talk about this list. Antoine had suggested we talk about a list between older and younger ladies, and I feel like that's so relevant. On this trip right now, it's multiple generations, and the way we view the world, the way the world views us, it's been so interesting. And then the music we've been listening to, some of these young girls are in their rap. I'm hearing things like basically saying that they're rejecting the ideals of older women. But when I said something about, okay, that's at your peril, right? Like, I imagine the things I've learned in my 50 years. And if my daughters don't listen to it, like, my daughters got good G because they didn't listen to the OG. Real talk, right? Like, they know what they're doing. Yeah, and they didn't pull on to it because they bring me solid nuggets, too. I need them now to navigate this world, because this is their world, right? But we were having a conversation, and my daughter was like, but that's not just because the young girls are acting like they're rejecting the older ladies. It's because the older ladies looking down their nose at the young girls. And so and so I'm interested in having that conversation from the male-female perspective, but also hearing about what that looks like for the brothers. Because in my mind, raising a son, I'm always looking for grown men to pour into my son. I'm always looking for men to expose my baby to, because even though he has a relationship with his father, you need diversity in males. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs to hear it from multiple places to decide who he is. And so I can't wait to have that conversation. Yeah. Anything y'all want to add?
Let me,
because we can almost hit that time.
Yeah, I want to add, because that's a real long topic. We do two sessions about that. Seriously. I just want to make sure I shout out the Big West game. April 20th as well in Madison. My guy Mike Austin always put that together, and It's
you're talking about the West High School, BHU, right? BFU,
yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep, the Black Student Union there would be versus some members of the community. So you'll get a chance to see some people from the community play basketball against the Black Student Union. They take it, they fundraise, always doing a good job.
Shout out, sure Mikey.
Yeah, Mikey's been doing such amazing work for the community, just man. As a good brother, always making sure he protect the kids. Like, you want your kids to be somewhere with somebody able to protect them and look out for them. He always making sure he got the kids back. So this year, I think I'm going to be playing. My body says yes. You know, you older, your body tell you. My neck been hurting for 4 weeks.
Might tell you no.
my neck been hurting for 4 weeks. I'm scared to turn around and catch a pass, right? So, hey, I might end up announcing. They be like, why is this man on the announcer table? Like, I'm just like...
I don't even know what he's saying right now.
Yeah, I just want to say that to say, if you haven't got your tickets, get your tickets. If nothing else, just support, donate what he's doing over there in the community, especially, like I said, Black Student Union, West High School. They just had their equity symposium. I got invited to speak towards that. And again, that comes from Mikey. Sometimes it's who you know and what we provide to the community. So I just want to give a shout out to that. That's April 20th. We'll, you know, mention that next week as well, you know, with a whole bunch of other announcements too. But I just want to make sure I gave him a shout out in the West, Black Student Union and everything.
Yeah. You know, I do. I can't wait till we talk about it next week, because I think there's a lot of divisiveness that happens within the young and old community. And T, it's hard for us to understand because we're not those people. Like, I imagine, much like me, I at one point said, I'm never going to forget what it is to be 13 years old. I'm never going to forget what this moment felt like when I knew that an adult didn't understand me. And I'm never going to be that parent or that person. And so we don't respond to the youth the same way that other individuals do. We don't have this authoritative figure over them. And I can't wait to really dive into that. The personal differences that I've noticed going to La Follette High School, going to West High, going to Verona versus Middleton versus East versus Sun Prairie. And I've been to all of these schools and dealt with all of the youth. And yeah, I can't wait to speak to it. I can't wait to it.
Well, it's been another fabulous morning. I'm so glad to see y'all. See, what y'all don't know out there in Radio Land is that we are all remote on Google Meet. And so I get to see them, and I love it because I love being in energy with them. This is truly the Tuesday Two Turnt crew. Oh, what?
Hey, shout out to Lolo, because I'm sure if she wasn't going on camera, the Tara was going to go on the camera, the Rosé was going to go on camera. You know, a lot of times when he gets these Google Meets, I'm like, man, I'm going to be off camera taking care of my business or chilling and taking notes.
I'm right here the whole time taking care of all my business.
When all of y'all doing it on camera, I'm like, okay, I guess I get on.
Right? She politely peer pressured us with that sunshine she had going in the back, because I had on my bonnet. I'm like, all right, I'll take off the bonnet.
Yeah, I don't know the do-rag. I'm like, let me take this off. Listen, I got kids to
drop off. And if we on two turn, y'all dropping them off with me. That's it.
Okay. As we should have just been dropping off the kids with them, right? Like, that's the... So thank y'all for tuning in. It's always great to get in here and chop it up. Please reach out to us with topics and ideas as well. We would love to do some community call-in shows and hear from y'all as well. Because, you know, the four of us will talk, and we will never run out of things to talk about. Now, and sometimes John jump in there. But, yeah, Tuesday, 8 o'clock, bud.
I challenge the community.
Thank y'all for tuning in.
Challenge the community to share. Don't let me stop. Hold on. I want you to give your exit. I want to challenge the community to share this link, because where else do you hear live community? Where else do you hear conversations like this coming from us and our people? That's why we two turned up Tuesday. Ain't nothing else in the city going to sound like this. You understand me?
And shout out, though, because I will say, I don't know about y'all, but I do get approached with people telling us thank you, that they're tuning in, that they really enjoy Tuesday morning, and the same thing you just said, Antoine, that we really are bringing the community out. So I love to hear from other folks. All right, John. John's giving us the finger. The 1 minute get off the
finger. I don't think you want to say that.
Yes, he did. But I was clarifying what kind of finger. The get go and stop talking finger.
The one motion finger? What is he doing? What kind of finger is this?
Thank love y'all for tuning in.
Love y'all, crew.
W-O-R-T.
Love y'all.
You've been listening to Tuesday 8 O'Clock Buzz, WRT 89.9 FM, Madison, Wisconsin. Coming up next, 3 hours of folk music on Green Morning Radio, Brian Hirsch. But first, the Insurgent Radio Kiosk. See you next week.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Tuesday, April 9th.
This is Common Places. I'm Diego Alegría. Esto es Lugares Comunes. Mi nombre es Diego Alegría. We use metaphors to live by. Usamos metáforas para vivir. Some have become common places. Algunas se han vuelto lugares comunes. Today's metaphor is... La metáfora de hoy es... Theories are buildings. Las teorías son edificios. En pie, sin base ni fundamento. Standing without base or foundation. Así fueron, montados, reforzados. This is how they were assembled, reinforced. Desde la forma hacia la fuerza del argumento. From the form to the force of the argument. Así fueron, derrumbados, desmoronados. This is how they were torn down, crumbled. En el aire, detrás del aire, ahora desvanecido. In the air, now fading, behind the air. Las teorías son edificios. Theories are